Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, we'll have some more farm reaction to Wednesday's Saskatchewan budget. We'll hear from the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan, as well as the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association. Also, a recent change may have a major impact on wheat and durum growers across Western Canada. Back in December of 2020, the Pest Management Regulatory Agency issued an update on the reevaluation of the insecticide chlorpyrifos, announcing that it would be phased out. And we'll hear from retired Yorkton agronomist Tom Weir what that means for producers. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bile meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Farm reaction is generally quite positive to Wednesday's Saskatchewan budget. Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan Vice President Bill Probilski of Willowbrook says increased funding for farm water projects is welcome news.
Well, overall, from the ag perspective, I think we're pleased. There's definitely been some increased funding for some of the programs in ag. In particular, for water infrastructure, for dams and irrigation, you know, very, very critical for the province going forward. We're happy to see the extra money going into the business risk management programs that were announced. Some recognition that the livestock industry is in need of some support. So the freezing of the crown grazing rate was good to see. Yeah, just generally overall, recognition of the importance of agriculture to the economy of the province. So good to see that.
Probilski calls it a good news budget for farmers, but he says there's always room for improvement.
There's things that we would have liked to seen, you know, maybe a little bit more support for the livestock industry, in particular processing of you know, the livestock processing in the province would have been nice to see some ideas for that. We had called for some improvements in the BRM programming. We did get some. There was, you know, always we're hopeful for more, but overall we're happy with what we did get.
Bill Probilski is the vice president of APAS. Meanwhile, Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association director Caitlin Kitson of Theodore says the almost 20% increase in the funding for the agriculture ministry is welcome.
I think we're really happy to see a 19% increase, you know, from last year, and then see the, you know, compensation rise from 70 to 80%. So, and then just the focus on international trade and, you know, continuing to share that Saskatchewan sustainable story across the world. And I think we saw that with the record exports in Mexico this last year.
She says it's a good news budget for the farming community.
Yeah, I think it's a good budget. Nothing, you know, too major drastic, but I don't think we were expecting, you know, any major announcements. But I think the surplus that Saskatchewan, you know, showed, as well as no increase or decrease in taxes, I think, yeah, it's pretty good for us.
Kitson also comments on the PST exemptions for storage buildings in the Outlook Irrigation District, and wild rice growers who need boats in northern Saskatchewan.
Yeah, so I'm a grain and cattle farmer in East Central Saskatchewan, so both of those, you know, don't affect me directly, but I think it makes a lot of sense for those farmers and those industries to have those exemptions.
She then provides her final comments on the Saskatchewan budget.
I think it was really, we're quite happy with it. I think just to see, I haven't had the chance to compare, but I don't know if any other, you know, ministry has got a 19% increase. So I think we're pretty happy with that.
The agri-stability compensation rate will increase from 70 to 80% for this year to better support farmers in times of need. It's time now for the AgReview portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, AgReview.
The British Columbia government says it is permanently doubling the number of subsidized seats for people who want to train to become veterinarians and practice in the province. Education Minister Selena Robinson says the government will provide $21.8 million over 3 years to subsidize students who want to train to be vets at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine in Saskatoon. BC has been funding 20 seats at the university, but Robinson says the new money will allow for 40 students from the province to meet the growing demand for veterinarians, especially among farmers and ranchers in the Fraser Valley and northern BC. The college has been training BC's veterinarians for 5 decades, and Robinson says the multi-year funding boost will give students certainty while addressing the need to train and retain vets in communities essential to BC's food security. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency is now seeking comment on its proposed amendments to livestock identification and traceability regulations. The regulatory proposal would address what the agency calls gaps in the current system, including adding goats and cervids as animal species that share diseases with other regulated livestock and therefore subject to traceability requirements. Shortening the time period allowed to report an event to better support an efficient response to disease outbreaks. Adding a requirement to provide information about the geographical location of sites where animals are located. And requiring the reporting of domestic movements of livestock. The CFIA is asking producers who own sheep, goats, pigs, cattle, bison, or farmed cervids, or are involved with livestock production or handling, to share their feedback during the consultation period, which opened Saturday and runs to June 16th. The size of the fund short position in continued to rise in early March, according to the latest commitments of traders data out from the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. As of March 7th, the net managed money short position in canola came in at 46,222 contracts, an increase of about 3,000 contracts from the previous week, and the largest net short position in 3 years. The commission is still catching up with its reports after technical issues delayed results for most of February. Open interest in the canola market came in at 288,738 contracts on March 7th, but has since climbed to over 311,000 as of March 17th, according to ICE Futures data. The increase in open interest as futures prices trended lower implies the fund traders continued to add to their short positions. Insurers continue to cover grain shipments from Ukraine through a United Nations-backed corridor, although more clarity will be required soon after the export accord was renewed for at least 60 days. The deal allowing the safe wartime export of Ukrainian grain from its Black Sea ports, initially brokered last July by Turkey and the UN, was renewed on Saturday for just half the intended period. Insurance for ships going into the 3 Ukrainian ports covered by the agreement has been vital, and the war cover policies need to be renewed every 7 days. The shorter renewal term has raised concerns over forward shipments beyond the 60-day period. The U.S. has pushed back on Russian demands that Western sanctions be eased before Russia allows Ukrainian Black Sea grain exports beyond mid-May, saying there were no restrictions on Russian agricultural products or fertilizer. Efforts by the Brazilian government to lift a month-long ban on beef exports to China paid off yesterday, as Beijing agreed to resume imports while also approving four new beef packers based in Brazil. Sales of Brazilian beef to China were voluntarily halted by Brazilian authorities on February 23rd, following the discovery of an atypical case of BSE. Now a total of 41 Brazilian beef plants are authorized to sell to China. Beef producers in Brazil were losing up to $25 million U.S. per day with the embargo in place. Some 62% of Brazil's beef exports went to China last year. And that's today's Ag Review. It's time now to head back out once again to Danny Ismond. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly sunny and minus 8 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. A recent change may have a major impact on wheat and durum growers across Western Canada. In December of 2020, the Pest Management Regulatory Agency issued an update on the reevaluation of the insecticide chlorpyrifos, announcing that it would be phased out. Retired Yorkton agronomist Tom Weir has the details.
Chlorpyrifos, large band, is the most typical product that active is sold under. It was deregistered actually in 21. At 20, they started the process. In 21, it was the last year of the manufacturer registrant selling it. In 22, last year was the last year that it was available for retails to sell, and this is the last year it can be used. Now, last year what happened was most of the manufacturers pulled back their products, so it really wasn't for sale last year either. But Lorsban has been used extensively over the years. Bertha Control and canola, it was the go-to product because it was very effective, and it's the only effective product that is available for wheat midge. Now, there is one other product that is registered, dimethylate, but the beauty of Lorsban was that it controlled the eggs that had been laid for about 5 days previously. So you had a window of 6-7 days that it would control midge, whereas dimethylate, Saigon, is only effective on controlling the adults that are out when it was sprayed. So I was involved years ago when in the 80s when the pest was first identified, and there was emergency registrations given to dimethylate and to chlorpyrifos. But I was with a company that was selling dimethylate at the time, and we were involved in a couple of trials, field scale trials, where we did half fields, and it wasn't very effective when compared to Lorsban. So it's kind of, I guess, a situation like a hockey team that your goaltender has been taken out of the game, injured, and you don't have a replacement, or your replacement is a bantam level goalie. So it's going to be a concern, I think, for farmers. It may start this year. Looking at the midge map, there's a chunk of area of concern between, say, Highway 2 and Highway 35 that looks like there's a good potential, if the weather lines up, that we'll have an infestation in that area. There's also a strip right along the Manitoba border that's looking like it may be a problem area. But if this does become a problem, the problem is there's no go-to product. You've got insects in the field. There's really not an effective control for them. So I just wanted to alert growers to that and talk about, we do have two defensemen, going back to the hockey analogy, that could be called on for helping you manage both of them are, I'd say, cultural methods. First of all, work that's been done shows that the wheat midge start emerging at a certain amount of heat units. And if we can get out and seed our wheat before a certain threshold, which is about 100 growing degree days, then we're pretty safe. The wheat should be beyond its susceptible stage when we get the emergence of a midge. So that's the first, I guess, control method we've got is seed early. Now, I mentioned growing degree days. That's just a way of calculating heat in the field. It's basically the way you calculate it is you take the daily high and add it to the daily low and divide it by two. In this case, we're talking wheat midge, which has, they call it a base of five, so then we subtract five. And if you add those numbers up on a daily basis, and you, if you can get your wheat seeded before we hit 100, it should be safe. Now, there is a, if a person wants to track this on Farm Zone and the Weather Network, there is a growing degree day calculator. You just have to remember that you have to keep taking five off every day because of the base five for the development of midge. Anyway, so that's the seeding date way of getting around midge. Now, my experience tells me that it works, but probably your last third, maybe the last half, depending on how early you can get seeding, may still be at risk. And then, of course, Mother Nature throws a year like last year in where, you know, we wanted to get seeding the first week of May, and we were lucky to get seeded the last week of May or first week of June. So, but that is an effective way of managing your risk to midge.
That's retired Yorkton agronomist Tom Weir. I'll have more with Tom coming up in a few minutes' time. But first, it's time for the livestock market conditions.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April closed at 163 even today. That's up 85. June live cattle closed at 156.60, up 80. April feeder cattle closed at 194.80, down 20. May feeder cattle closed at 197.55, down 105. April lean hogs closed at 77.17, up 142. May lean hogs closed at 85.67, up 232. And that's the livestock market conditions. It's time now to check in once again with Danny Ismond. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. As you heard just a few minutes ago, in December 2020, the Pest Management Regulatory Agency issued an update on the reevaluation of the insecticide chlorpyrifos, announcing that it would be phased out. Retired Yorkton agronomist Tom Weir explains why chlorpyrifos is being taken off the market.
Products go through periodic risk evaluations. Now, Lorsban is an old product. It's been around for 50 years. It's been slowly being taken off the market across the world. And one of the problems with Lorsban is it is highly effective, and it also is highly toxic to bees. And that's been one of the major things that has been a concern. The other thing is that it, with a lot of the older products, it tends to show up in human residues and humans, and that's not very desirable. And I don't know the exact reasons, but I know across the world, we were one of the last places that had it available.
He adds it used to be used on more than just wheat and durum crops.
Well, at one time, it was widely used. It was used as a dry product that was put on cattle for lice control and warble control. It sprinkled on their backs. It was called Dursban. And there was actually a product that was used for head lice at one time. So, I mean, it's it was very effective. It was very used a number of places, but it was probably overused, and it's a product that probably lived out its lifetime.
Weir says the only insecticides left on the market aren't as effective as a product like Lorsban.
There are products that will control the adult wheat midge, but the midge usually emerges over a week. And so if you're spraying one day, one evening, and kill everything that's there, you're not going to kill anything that emerges tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the days before. So that was the beauty of Lorsban, is it had that, they called it kickback. It would control the midge eggs that had been laid for 5 days. And so that, it was a perfect product for wheat midge. But sadly, I mean, we've lost it, and I haven't heard of anything else that's been developed. As I say, there's probably products that would control. You've got two problems. One is days to harvest is fairly narrow because you're spraying it in July at crop heading. And the other thing is to be effective, it has to have a wider range of control than just a single day. And then if you've got a product that's hanging around for 3 or 4 days, there's residue issues in the crop. So I don't foresee a chemical, whether it's organic or not, control coming up. There is some biological organisms. There's a wasp that does a fairly decent job on controlling wheat midge. It lays the eggs at the same time, and the larva eat the midge larva. So that has been fairly effective. It sort of, the populations go up and down, and that was always a concern of Lorsban, is that it did a really good job of controlling those wasps. So maybe now that Lorsban's gone, that the populations will build and help us control it. But there is a second defenseman that we do have, and that is midge tolerant varieties. A number of years ago, they discovered that there was a gene that would give the plant the ability to, it actually, just at the pollinating stage, the plant produces an acid, an organic acid, which controls the midge larvae once they hatch. So this gene has been bred into a number of wheat varieties and is highly effective in controlling the midge. So it's definitely something that I think growers should take a look at for this year. There, if you're in a situation where the midge map is showing that you're in a yellow area of the map, the map's available online. I actually just wrote an article for the Western Producer, included the map in it. So if anybody wants to take a look at the map and decide whether they should consider they're in a area that they may be at risk for midge, then they should, I think about growing some of the resistant varieties, at least on the last half or third of the wheat that they're planting. So you can use both of the control techniques. You can seed your wheat early, but the last half or third, maybe you use a midge-tolerant variety.
That's Tom Weir, a retired agronomist from Yorkton. We'll have his final comments coming up in a few moments' time. But first, it's time for the Commodities Update. And that's a presentation of Lane Realty. When it's time to sell the farm, call Lane Realty, your trusted and experienced farmland real estate company. To include your property for showings, call 620-7260 or visit lanerealty.com.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed up across the board again today. May canola closed at $743.40, up $8.20. July canola closed at $727.40, up $9.20. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $857.50, up $0.16. May Kansas City wheat closed at $8.48 per bushel, up 28 and a quarter cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $6.88 and a half, up 26 and a half cents. May corn closed at $6.43 per bushel, up 11 and a quarter cents. May soybeans closed at $14.28 and a quarter. That's up 8 and 3 quarters of a cent. May oats closed at $3.68 and a half, up 7 cents. And that's the commodities update. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. As you heard in December of 2022, the Pest Management Regulatory Agency issued an update on the reevaluation of the insecticide chlorpyrifos, announcing that it would be phased out. Retired Yorkton agronomist Tom Weir says producers need to be aware of some conditions when it comes to seeding midge-tolerant wheat and durum.
The key thing about these varieties, I guess there's a couple of things. One is that they actually are blend of 90% tolerant and 10% regular wheat, because they want to try and extend the life of this single gene, and the resistance won't occur in the midge. If it was 100%, there's a higher chance of the midge developing. Because of that, the wheat that can only be grown for two generations. So if you seeded some wheat this year, and then seed from that can be used for seed to plant next year, but then you'd have to get some new. So there's sort of a continual need to buy seed and use and increase seed for the following year. You can extend the life of the variety by, say, this year, if you grow 500 acres of it, and the seed that you've got from it, you clean enough for the amount you want to use next year, and enough that you can plant it the year after. So you can, by doing that, it'd still only be second generation, and you'd be legally able to grow it. But it does take some pre-thought and some pre-planning. I guess the key things are that there could be a shortage. I don't know how widespread the knowledge of the Lord's Band being deregistered is. I hadn't heard very much about it. I've been keeping my ear open to it. So growers should be aware that there's going to be a demand, an increased demand for midge-tolerant wheat. So if you are thinking, talk to your seed supplier and pick some up ASAP, I'd suggest. But the really good thing is that the midge-tolerant wheats have been around for a while. Breeding's been going on for a number of years. And we have some really decent varieties. And we have varieties in most of the classes of wheat that farmers grow. We've got some Red Spring. We've got some CPS. We've got some Soft White. And there's even some Durham varieties that have the tolerant gene. Extra Strong has some. So we have a really wide variety of varieties that are tolerant to midge. So it should be, if this had happened 10, 15 years ago, we might have been really pushed to find varieties that were strong and in other aspects and that in other classes of wheat. But we're in pretty good shape. The breeders have done a great job. So I know I've seen some of the hard red spring wheats in the field and plots, and they look really good. They're short, they stand up well, and they yield well, and they've got a lot of the other traits that growers are looking for. So that's, I guess, is the big takeaway. As I say, we've had to bench our star goalie, and so we've got to count on our defensemen, the early seeding and the resistant varieties to get us through the game.
That's Tom Weir, a retired agronomist from Yorkton. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Moosomin, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. A mix of sun and cloud, winds northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of minus 2. For tonight, becoming cloudy, winds north-northwest at 15 to 25, a low of minus 11. For tomorrow, mainly cloudy, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 6, a low of minus 13. For Sunday, mainly cloudy, with a 30% chance of flurries, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 2. For Monday, a 40% chance of flurries, a high of minus 10, and Tuesday, partly sunny, a high of minus 8. In the Paw, Brandon, Shoal Lake, Russell, and Roblin, it's minus 6 degrees, Swan River, minus 4, Dauphin, minus 1. Regina is at minus 7 degrees, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 5, Hudson Bay, minus 3, Indian Head, minus 8. The Yorkton Melville region has a partly sunny sky, a north-northwest wind at 13 kilometers an hour. 92% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 8 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 14 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.